Psalms chapter 30. The 30th division of the Psalms, beginning with the very first verse, Psalms 31. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. And may God bless the reading of the Word. And let me just mention some things before I come to the sermon proper on this occasion. At this time, they were dedicating the house of David. David had been king for some time, but not long before this, he had moved his headquarters from Hebron to Jerusalem. And you know the story, no doubt, how that for years David had lived in jeopardy of his life. He had to flee for his life constantly from King Saul. Because of jealousy in the heart of Saul, he was out to kill David when he found out that how that had been prophesied that David would be king and the rest, and heard that Samuel had no doubt had anointed him. And now we find that because of jealousy, David had to flee for his life, and whether it was in the mountains or in the caves, or by the Dead Sea, or in the forest of Judea, or wherever it might have been, the Bible says that David had to flee for his life, but all of that is behind him now in this chapter. He's been king for some time, and as he thinks back, as he reminisces about how things had been, and how difficult times had been, and what he had gone through, he said in that fifth verse, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Let me say that again. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And that's what I want to preach about. Regardless of the bleakness of your situation, regardless of what you might have gone through or might be going through even now, regardless of pain and suffering or whatever you might have had to endure, regardless of what the doctor said in his last report, remember what David said and take hope. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It might be a dark time right now in some families and in some lives, but there's a better day ahead. The sun's going to rise. A new day is going to dawn. Joy is coming in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our choir sings from time to time a song about two holiness preachers. This is what it says in the first verse. In the darkest moments of the midnight, Paul and Silas were in chains. There was not a friend that they could turn to as their bodies ached with pain. When it seemed that all their hope had left them, as the beaten backs began to sting, heavenly sunlight filled the prison, and they both began to sing. And I say, amen. Amen. And the next verse might be for you. Do the clouds of darkness hover near you? Do you dread the set of sun? Do the evening shadows make you wonder, will the morning ever come? Just remember God provides a pathway, and it's all aglow with heaven's light. David said, joy will reign come morning if we hold on through the night. Living in the midnight, waiting for the morning, looking for the day when it splits the sky. I've lived through the darkness looking for the sunshine. Living in the midnight, oh, but soon the sun will rise, and I say, amen, it will. And I don't have a word of prophecy, but I have something from the Lord to let you know right now. There's a better day ahead. There's a new day awaiting. The sun is going to rise again. There's going to be another day. Thank God, thank God. Life is filled with troubles and trials, and with heartaches and difficulties and what have you. They come to every one of us, the Bible says. But I've often read, and I go back over and over it again, and I'm going over it again this morning because it's so real in my life and no doubt in yours as well. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Those things that have come upon you right now, others have gone through as well. Sometimes you might feel as if no one cares, no one understands. No one knows the difficulty or the heartache or the suffering or the pain. No one can know, but God says there is no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful. And I love those words, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Listen to what I tell you right now. If God doesn't deliver you out of it, He'll give you grace to go through it. His grace is sufficient. Amen, amen. I believe that God heals. I know that God heals. I know that God answers prayer. But if it doesn't come on my timetable, I'm going to still trust God. I'm going to still obey God because God's working something out. We've all had problems and difficulties. There are trials in every home, on the job, in the school, wherever you might be. There are all kinds of things going on out there, and God knows about it. But He's saying, regardless of the darkness, regardless of the hour, regardless of the trouble, regardless of the trial, regardless of the sickness, regardless of the affliction, regardless of whatever it might be that Satan is brought against us, keep your faith in the Almighty God, in the omnipotent God. Trust in the Lord. He's going to see us through. I have no reservations telling you this today. If you'll serve God, you are just one breath away from glory. One step away from heaven. And there's nothing in this world, nothing, nothing, nothing to go back to. Nothing. We've got it all out yonder. We've got a lot here, right here. But look what we have out there. Praise God, praise God. Regardless of the circumstances in your heart, or in your family, or in your life, in your workplace, or wherever, He's going to bring us out on the other side with victory. The Bible says, and I preached on this years ago, He always causes us to triumph in Christ. I'll just take a moment right there. I don't have any notes along that line, but I want you to remember two words in that statement. Always. Not some of the time. Not part of the time. Always causes us to triumph. Always triumphant in Christ. Whatever you're going through in life, whatever you're facing in life, whatever's out there, regardless of how dark it might be, we're always triumphant in Jesus Christ. The people that are not triumphant are those that get out of Jesus, away from Jesus. In Christ, we are victorious. I remember when the choir, we had a large choir and we were singing, and we were singing, I'll See You in the Rapture, and another song, We Are Victorious. And Ernie Kohler was in the choir, and Brother Holloway was in the choir, and different ones. And I looked in the newspaper this week, and I saw a list of names, a whole page full of names, and names of people that work in the shipyard that have been there 40 years, a whole page full. Man, if all they retired, there'll be a lot of openings. And I looked, and Ernie Kohler's name was in there, 40 years in the shipyard. And I remember him standing on that end in the choir, and we were singing songs such as I'll See You in the Rapture, and about the Lord coming, and things such as that, and how God has blessed us, and the church has been blessed, and God's been so good. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. That is our hope in the Lord, brother. We are not defeated today. We cannot be defeated if we stay with Christ. If Christ is in you, brother, we are victorious. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The word of the course in our book, I myself, by myself, I cannot make it. But I know He's there to help me. He will hear my cry if only I will call. Just keep trusting, keep on believing. Are the words I hear Him whisper, just a few more days to labor after all. The youth of the Arizona Conference, over 40 years ago, met in a fellowship hall or someplace, I don't remember now exactly where it was, and we had a guest quartet to come and sing. Pentecostal boys. They called themselves the Pilgrims Quartet. And I don't remember the names of any of them, and I don't remember any other songs, but I was sitting, where I was sitting was really close to where they were standing when they were singing some songs at that evening at a banquet we had, and this is one of the songs they were singing. By myself I cannot make it, but I know He's there to help me. He will hear my cry if only I will call. Just keep trusting, keep on believing. Or the words I hear Him whisper, just a few more days to labor. After all, I want to share something today. That was 40-some years ago. I believe God's got a word for you and me this morning. Just a few more days to labor. After all, He's coming. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm looking for the sunrise. I'm looking for the breaking of the day. When I was a boy, after the Second World War began, my brother and I took a paper route. The young man that carried the papers went in the Navy. And they asked us to take the papers, and we did. And my brother lasted for about a year. He was older than I. And some mornings I had a hard time awakening him, and I decided, why pay him half? Why did he get half of the pay? Because I couldn't get him out of bed, I'll take him by myself and get the whole works. $8.30 a week. 10 cents a customer for 83 customers. 7 days a week. Young people, if you think you're underpaid, $8.30 a week for 7 days. A lot of mornings, in the wintertime especially, you wake up to go carry the papers. Sometimes cold, sometimes rainy. Darkness. And I thought, man, it will be good when summertime comes. And this cold weather's gone and it's light and you don't have to carry papers in the dark because you get up early to carry them. I want everyone to know it might be a dark time today, but the sun's about to rise. The sun is about to rise. Hallelujah. The night is about over. The night is not going to last forever. It's going to be over. There's going to be another day. The sun's going to rise again. Now I want to use a couple of illustrations, if I may. The nation of Israel was in bondage, and we've used that so many times, but I want to use it for this note today. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were working in the brickyards, and it was difficult, and they were not given any materials to work with. They had to search them out for themselves, and they are a good example of the hardships and the afflictions and the pain and the suffering and the nights of weeping that many go through. But the story doesn't end there, and I want to give you some historical data. 430 years earlier, God spoke to a man raised in a pagan country, idol worshiper by the name of Abram, and said, Abram, if you will obey my voice and follow me and leave your home, I will lead you to a place and I will give it to you as an inheritance. 430 years earlier than this time that I just mentioned of the nation of Israel. Abram obeyed God. The Bible says in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, he went out not knowing where he was going. All he knew that God said, go and I will go with you and I will give you the land. I'm going to show you a land and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to your son. I'm going to give it to your grandson. I'm going to give it to your offspring forever. Hallelujah. And then God said this, and you and your seed will sojourn in foreign land for 430 years. He was speaking about sojourning in Canaan's land and in Egypt. Stay with me now because this is important. For the first 215 years after God called Abraham, they sojourned in Canaan's land. 215 years in Canaan's land. At the end of the 215 years, there was a mighty famine in the land, and the Bible says that Jacob took his family and went down into Egypt. And they stayed in Egypt for 215 more years. And when the 430 years, 215 in Canaan, 215 in Egypt, when the 430 years were completed, I want to read you a scripture that just ought to just make you feel good. Listen to the 12th chapter of Exodus, chapter verse number 41. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, listen to these words, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. I want to say that again. God said to Abraham, you and your seed will be sojourners in land that does not belong to them. They will be strangers in lands that do not belong to them for 430 years. And they stayed 215 years in Canaan and 215 years in Egypt. And when their time was up for the 430 years, the Bible says on that very same day, they marched out of Egypt in victory and liberty. Listen closely. If God says something, He'll bring it to pass. Right on time. He's never late. Never late. Right on the day. Notice two things, if you will. I've mentioned God has said the people of Israel would be sojourners, not owners, not inherited. But for 430 years they would be sojourners. And now God has delivered them. They've left Canaan, they've gone to Egypt, and now God's delivered them from Egyptian bondage after 430 years are completed. The prophecy fulfilled. Second thing I'd like to mention here is Israel has suffered terribly at the hands of the Egyptians. But now that long day of pain and suffering and darkness and heartache had ended. The night time of torture, not knowing what tomorrow would hold, the afflictions, they were all over. It was a new day. And I want to come back to the words of David. I imagine many of the children of Israel had wept and wept and wept and wept. They came to one house and took the oldest boy. They came to one house and took a baby boy, just been born, took him out of his mother's arms and drowned him in the Nile River. They went down the street and took another baby boy and drowned him in the Nile River. I remember, I believe that mothers wept and wept and wept because their arms were empty and the children had been removed from them. Fathers had come in from the brickyards and their backs were sore for the beatings that they'd had, and they wept, God, will you ever come? Will you ever deliver us? Will there ever be another day? And I hear the words of David saying, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Children of Israel, we cannot, and I'll say me, I don't know about you, but I don't believe I can even begin to imagine what they went through. Born in slavery, raised in slavery, many had died in slavery. But now this generation in slavery, all of their lives have lived such a life of slavery. And God is saying, the sun's going to rise again. It's been a long night of weeping and suffering and pain, but there's a new day. I would like to place you and me on that hour, on that day, and I'm going to mark it down, April the 14th. 1491. It was April the 14th when God spoke to Abram in the year 1920 B.C. and said 430 years, 1920, 1921 B.C., 430 years from now, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to bring you out. You're going to be sojourners for 430 for 430 years. And on the very day, April the 14th, 1491, 430 years to the day, God brought them out. Listen closely. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. It might be 430 years. It might be 20 years. It might be 10 years. It might be 2 weeks. But joy is coming in the morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If that could somehow get a hold of our hearts today, this is not all of life. It's not going to be trouble and hardship and difficulty and pain and sickness forever. There's going to be a new day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. Israel had gone through all of this torture and afflictions, but now it's a new day. Let me give you another illustration, if I may. Found in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. Israel was at war with the Philistines. Israel was outnumbered. The Bible says there was a valley, the valley of Elah. Over on this side, on the mountainside, was the children of Israel, and over there was the great host of the Philistines, a whole mountainful. Looked like a small, just a small herd of goats, the children of Israel, compared to that great host. And while they were waiting to put the battle in array, there in the valley of Elah, a giant by the name of Goliath came out of the camp of the Philistines and stood out in the valley and bellowed and cried out and defied God and defied the armies of Saul. And let me stop right here. It's a dangerous thing to defy God. Mock God. And I don't believe in circumstances just or coincidence. I believe God had a hand in it all. And somehow God nudged Jesse, the Bethlehemite, the father of David, to have David, his young son, to go down to the valley, go down to the camp of the Israelites and see how things are going in the battle. And when he got down to the battlefield, he found all of the Israeli nation was, army was hiding in the caves and in the forest and in the trenches and wherever they got, they were afraid of that giant Goliath that came out into the valley and defied the living God and was asking, send your man, send your champion. I will fight with your champion, and whoever wins will be victorious, and that nation shall rule. And the Bible says that Saul's army was afraid. David comes down to the camp. Here's the Goliath, and you know the story, and I'm not going into detail. Here that Goliath the giant, as he defies God in the armies of Saul, and something got a hold of a teenage boy. I want us to have revival that God will get a hold of every one of the young people and their parents and their grandparents. Amen. It's not enough for parents or grandparents. It's not enough for the young people. I want us all. Hallelujah. David, hearing what the giant said, I know at first he might have made some statements, but no one was willing to go. David said, I'll go. It wasn't because David was thought so much of himself. It was because David had God. He knew that if he went, God would go with him. I don't believe it was just something that came off the top of his head that I'm somebody. I can fight him. I can beat him. He knew what God had done already. Listen closely. If you want to know what God can do, look what God has done. Amen. And David went out, and you know the end of the story. He killed Goliath. And this is a part, and I'm not going to turn in the Bible to 1 Samuel 17 to read it, but I want to just share what happened. The Bible says, when David killed Goliath, stood on him, took the sword that he had in his sheath and cut his head off, and held his head up for the people to see, the Bible says that the people of Israel came out of the trenches and out of the caves, and they shouted. You know why? Because the night was over. The sun was shining again. Victory was theirs. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. The Bible says that they shouted. They shouted, they shouted. They were afraid to go out, but David had gone, and the victory had been won, and they shouted the praises of Almighty God. Brother, we can shout today. The victory is ours.
The night, David said, weeping may endure for the night, but the joy coming in the morning. I believe the morning is about to break. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They went home rejoicing, victory, having won the battle because of the man called David, young man called David, and what had been accomplished. And they shouted the victory. He came out of the trenches. Finally, I've got a couple of thoughts that I'd like to bring to your attention. One came to me while I've been in Sunday school this morning, and the other I'll try to finish the sermon. It was a dark day when you come to the book of Malachi, and God speaks to Malachi the last time, and there's no other voice from heaven, no other prophet for 400 years. Rome ruled the world during some of that 400 years, and it was a dark time. Israel suffered at the hands of the Romans. Herod has become the king of Israel. It was a dark time. And the Bible says that in the last chapter of the Old Testament, and God gave a prophecy through Malachi. And He said these words, the Son of Righteousness is going to make His appearance with healing in His wings. I'm talking about the first coming of the Lord Jesus. Keep this in mind. The Israeli nation was underfoot. They had been dominated by the Babylonians. They had been dominated by the Medes and the Persians. They had been dominated by the Grecians and now the Romans. No rule of their own, no king of their own, no word of their own. They're always slaves. They're always subject to somebody else. Someone else is ruling. They're paying their taxes to some other government. And now in this dark hour, Malachi has a word from God. That word from God is to the nation of Israel. I want you to know, in essence, the night is about over and He's coming with healing in His wings. The Son of Righteousness is coming with healing in His wings. And the Lord came on the scene. And I'm not going through the story at all, the life of Jesus and the rest. And He went back to heaven. He sent the Holy Ghost. And the church has been established. And the church has gone through a lot of things. And we're getting down to the end. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed earnestly with you, God, in these last hours. We want Your will to be done. More than I want anything in this world. I want a Holy Ghost revival, and I know that's God's will. That's not just something I thought up. That's God's will. I want God's moving in our midst. And we're living in a difficult time. We're living in a time when people don't have much time to really get a hold of God. God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to have devotions. But if You don't answer in 5 minutes, I just don't have much time, God. Or maybe I'll give You 10, but that's the limit. I'll tell you why they had the great revival at the turn of the century. And I'm going to close in a few moments. There was a holiness revival that swept the country in the 18th and 19th centuries. And holiness churches and groups and denominations sprung up across the South and the Midwest and the East. Right here in Virginia. Holiness. And at the turn of the century, they were praying and seeking God. God gave a Holy Ghost outpouring at the turn of the last century. He began to baptize with the Holy Ghost those that were living right. There was a great revival that swept the entire nation and the world. Pentecost. Around the world. It's like fire. It's like a forest fire. It began to spread. And now it's been over 100 years and much of that has died out. But I'll tell you why it happened. And what happened in the first half of the last century. If you would go to camp meeting in Falcon, North Carolina, in the middle of the night or early hours of the morning, you could hear people out yonder praying. Amen. Praying. God would wake some up in the middle of the night. And they'd get up and pray. People prayed and God moved and God moved. But we're coming to a day, we're in a day, and I'm leaving this for all of us, me and you. We're living in a day when the devil will try his best to make you make it so that your time is taken up. And if God doesn't bless like I want Him to bless when I want Him to bless, then I'll have to just cancel out that blessing. But that's not God's will. I'm going to leave this with you today and then we're going to pray. Weeping, and some of you have been weeping for God to move. Weeping for God to heal. And what we have seen in our lives, what we have seen in this church, what we have seen in our ministry, I'm not interested in going to heaven. Just with that in the back of my mind, I want God to do it now. I want to go to heaven, whatever happens, but I want this generation now. And I read the fourth chapter of Malachi and said the Son of Righteousness is about to appear with healing in His wings. And that was the first coming of the Lord. Now He's going back to glory. But I believe I can tell you another story. I believe He's about to come again. And I believe that weeping might endure for a night, and I believe the weeping is about over. I believe He's coming to take us out of here. And I don't know how long that's going to be before that happens, but if He tarries any time at all, God, move one more time. God, have Your way in our lives. Bless the people. Help us to pray. Help us to know how to pray. Help us to get down to business praying. Hallelujah. I have no reservations telling you this today. If this church, all of us, would pray and touch God, He will not withhold one good thing from any of us. Healings, miracles. God working, God moving. God help us to pray. We're living in the midnight. We're living in the midnight, but soon the sun will shine. Living in the midnight. Oh, the devil's having a heyday. It seems like the more you pray and the more you work and the more you cry, it seems like the less is being done. The devil trying to make you believe, what is the use? I say, devil, get thee behind me. But I'm going to serve God. We're going to obey God. God has let us to know that the night is about over. Weeping might endure for a night, but the sun's going to rise again. There's going to be a new day. There's going to be a new day. There's going to be a new day for upon the light tabernacle. God's got something in mind for you. God's got something in mind for me. God's got something in mind for the church. The sun will shine again. Hallelujah. Let God have His way. Pray until you pray. Pray until you touch God. Pray until heaven comes down. Pray until the anointing comes. Hallelujah. Pray until God walks in our midst and touches our lives. People, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray until we pray. We're not going to have a song. I just want us to pray. I just want us to pray. I know what God can do. I know what God has done. And I've read the Bible. And it says, I am the Lord, I change not. What He's done, He's able to do again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To see a young girl right here kneeling at a bench in our church. Young girl, less than 10 years of old age. And God filled her with the Holy Ghost. A young teenage boy in the altar. His mother came. She was raised in a different denomination. She came and the Holy Ghost was moving. She came as close as she could, not on the front but here. And she was looking over the benches to see what her son was doing. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. It made a difference in the home. God can do it again. God can do it again. Oh, God can do it again. God can do it again. What do you say, preacher? People prayed. If we're praying, God will hear. The night is about over. The day's about to break again. I'm going to ask you without any singing, without any music. Would you come with me this morning and stand quick, closely here in this altar, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray. How long are we going to pray, Brother Jones? Wait till we finish. Pray until we've prayed. So I said, well, Brother Jones, I usually eat at 12:15. Forget about 12:15. Let's pray. When prayer becomes more important than us eating, we're on the right track. How many times I've mentioned this before, and we're going to stand and pray. Our piano was over here. That same revival where that young girl, blonde-headed girl, that same teenage boy, another teenage boy received the Holy Ghost and called to preach. Another teenage boy was behind the piano. 12 o'clock came, some went home, some stayed to pray. 12:30 came, some had gone home, some stayed to pray. 1 o'clock came, Sunday. 1 o'clock came, most were gone home, but some stayed to pray. A teenage boy that was raised in a home without a father or mother that was saved. No Christianity in the home. Received the Holy Ghost behind the piano on the floor, slain in the Spirit, speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, and God anointed him mightily. God can do it again. Why? If we'll pray. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning for the abundant life tabernacle. Will you stand with me?